Hello and welcome back to the Infinite Bliss podcast. My name is Alana and this is the podcast where we discover our psychic love connection. Super happy to be joining you guys again. Last week, or maybe it was the week before, we talked about the importance of sacred space and finding connections to the sacred in our everyday lives, how we can bring a little bit of that sacred essence into our everyday humdrum routine. So this week I want to focus on another aspect of slow and peaceful living, and that is retreat and retreating into the self. Retreats are often associated with formal and structured environments, like retreat centers, where we follow a program and we have space and time that's out of our daily routine and lives. Retreat centers provide that solace and that escape for hundreds of thousands of people, you know, all over the planet every single year. It's something that is sought after and for really good reason. I have had actually many retreat experiences, both receiving and also leading and teaching on retreats, thanks to the connection that I have with Ashram Yoga, which is the school here in New Zealand where I've done all of my yoga teacher training. And also my mother is an avid practitioner of Tibetan Buddhism, so I've kind of grown up around this whole idea of retreats and retreating, of having and making time for your spiritual well-being and just taking time and making time out of your everyday life to go into a deeper space. And for me, because I've obviously never been a stranger to this whole idea of retreating, but being introduced to it so young, it always seemed to have this quality of mysticism and kind of profound change around it. And I remember hanging out in retreat centers and how my mother would be when she returned home from a retreat, and there always seems to be this immediate sense of change, but then also this gradual sense of development and refinement over time as well. And I think that if you do grow up with that environment and that exposure, perhaps, then it seems natural to you to incline yourself towards retreating. But that same mysticism that can draw some people in can also be very intimidating, especially if it's your first time on a retreat, if you don't know what to expect, if you think about dipping your toes in, but you don't quite know if it's going to be too much for you or too immersive or how it's going to be. And I think that going and having a retreat, you know, for a week or a month or even a weekend, I mean, it's all well and good if you have the time and the money and the inclination, but a lot of those are just luxuries that many of us can't afford, you know, all the time or consistently or even at all. But to retreat is such a balm for the soul. It's so soothing. It's like hitting a reset button if you choose the right one for you and your personality. We all need to retreat occasionally from our everyday lives, even if it's just once a year for 3 days. It's that little switch that helps keep you regular, helps keep you sane in your everyday life, because you need to really come out of what you're doing and kind of being a cog in the wheel of your life and just take the time to pause. I personally feel that I need more time to retreat than just 3 days every year. And I think as an introvert, actually, I typically need to spend some time alone with myself on a daily basis if I want to stay in a mentally healthy kind of space. But when I'm talking really about deep retreat, so something that will last for 3 days and longer, that's really something that we're going for here, because it allows you that time to really go into yourself I'd love to hear if you've ever attended a retreat and what your experience was, the good, the bad, and the ugly, because trust me, it comes in all shapes and forms. And I think if you have a good first retreat experience, you're probably much more likely to go for it again, maybe to try something new or to go back to the same place, or just to be encouraged to lean into that sense of retreat and what it can offer. Whereas if you have a bad experience, something that wasn't led well, or perhaps the practice was too intense, or whatever it was, maybe it wasn't the right time. It can be intimidating to get back on the horse again, and it can seem much easier to just write off the whole experience and say, no, retreats aren't for me. So, anyway, I'm curious, have you ever been on retreat, and how was that experience for you? I'd love to hear. Because going on a retreat, especially one that someone else is leading, it can definitely encourage us outside of our comfort zones. Different routines, different time of getting up, different times of eating, different foods, possibly sharing a room with others. Your whole day is kind of lined out for you, but according to someone else's idea. And that can be challenging, especially for those of us who like to have quite a bit of control in our lives, or who have strong boundaries around, personal space or what we feel that we need to be comfortable. So being on retreat in many ways, it can break down barriers and boundaries. And that's sort of just the human aspect outside of the actual practice or the whatever it is that you're actually doing the retreat for. There's all these other elements that come into play as well. And so that can be a learning experience in itself, just that learning to be comfortable within the discomfort and perhaps reaching a new level of acceptance of things as they are. Luckily, retreat programs are usually so yummy that it totally makes it worth it. All that sharing toilets with other people and having to wait for a shower and all that kind of thing. Often we come as strangers and leave as friends, and I hold some of my absolute dearest friends close to my heart that I have met on retreat. I highly recommend dipping your toes into the world of retreats. It doesn't have to be a super fancy 2-week-long holiday of with yoga in Bali, unless that's what you're into and that's what you want to do, go for it. But you can start off super simple with your local yoga center, or your local meditation circle or mindfulness group or something like that. There's often people and places that are local to you that are offering things like this if you go and check it out. I highly recommend checking the notice boards in the windows of, say, organic shops. They tend to usually attract the people that are going to head towards a retreat, and you can find some really good gems in there. But the thing is, it doesn't have to be spiritual either. It could be anything from, gardening to surfing to a cooking retreat. The main thing is just to sort of get you out of your everyday life and into something where you can just relax and enjoy and just let the good times roll. The other thing is as well, you can totally design your own retreat. Now, this is kind of a double-edged sword, and I'll talk a little bit about sort of the pros and cons of doing it yourself versus going to a center where somebody else is taking care of you. But you can totally self-host your own mini retreat. Ideally, I would probably choose, say, a long weekend or a holiday or something like that, where you have some time away from work and away from other responsibilities. Something where you can just schedule that time for yourself and you don't have to answer to anyone else, send the kids to their grandparents or tell your partner you need, some time by yourself. It's really beneficial And you can even invite friends over or do it with your partner as well if that's something that's calling you, if you'd like to do it as a group. I love the idea of designing your own program and making your retreat exactly what you want it to be. And it doesn't have to be as intimidating as you think, or as perfect as you think, you know. You can just loosely design your own program, maybe even tape it up to your wall to keep you on track and keep you inspired. And yeah, there's no set rules. So the main thing is just to decide what you want from your retreat. Maybe you want more creativity. Maybe you want more silence. Maybe you want to get into your cooking. And it's usually something that you wish you made time for more of in your everyday life, but that you sort of never seem to get around to. For a lot of people, that tends to be something like yoga or something creative or something that fills you up spiritually, really. So you can take some time to really just brainstorm that and, you know, do a little vision board, see what comes up for you. Maybe you feel like there's something missing or a favorite activity that you'd love to get into a little bit deeper. Yeah, it can be quite fun. And then from a timetable design point of view, I find the easiest way is to start with the bones. So decide which time you're going to wake up every day, which time you're going to go to sleep, and have set meal times so that your days have a consistent rhythm to them. And once you have the bones of your day, then it's pretty easy to choose what you want to do morning, afternoon, and evening. And if you are doing it at home, I highly recommend setting boundaries, especially around technology, because when you're at home, it's so easy to flick on the TV or to, you know, scroll through your Instagram and kind of get lost in your technology. And then you kind of lose the point of what you're actually trying to achieve with this retreat. So try to evoke the sense of retreat and replenishment as much as possible. Kind of imagine what it would be like if you're actually on a retreat in a retreat setting, kind of quote unquote following the rules. And then you can decide in advance what you want to do with your technology, whether you want to have it completely cut out of the picture or whether you want to have like a specific hour of the day where you're contactable or where you can, you know, choose to do, you know, urgent things. And the thing is that most of the time, everything that we consider urgent, I mean, really, it can wait for 3 days and nobody's going to die if you don't email them back in, you know, over a long weekend. Obviously, there's exceptions to that rule, but the majority of the time, it's just that we like this this idea of control and, you know, the idea that people rely on us and people need us. And, you know, part of the retreat thing is that we actually have to let go of our ego a little bit and realize that actually, yes, the world will keep on spinning without us, even if, you know, and we have to sort of get over ourselves a little bit, and can be quite a humbling experience. I think that's quite beautiful personally, because humility is such a it's such a beautiful trait, and it's so underrated, and it just makes a person so much more connected and approachable. And I feel it's sort of a more human way of approaching life than feeling, you know, every single moment is so important or every little decision is, you know, life or death. We're always kind of right there on the edge of our seat, feeling so, I don't know, so pumped up and full of adrenaline, when really we can let some of that go and just tune into more of the being aspect than the doing aspect. And that is definitely one of the challenges of a retreat, especially if you're doing it at home, because you have to have that discipline to hold yourself accountable and away from the screen and away from the control freak and away from the micromanagement, and just allow yourself to relax and surrender. So setting boundaries in advance can be very helpful, because then you kind of think, oh, I just follow the rules and it's a little bit easier. So I know some retreat centers that have no Wi-Fi, no screens, some that are even in locations that have no phone reception. So you literally cannot receive communication. You can't phone anybody. And, you know, they have landlines for if you need to get in contact with someone. So when you're at home, you can plug out your Wi-Fi modem, you can keep the TV switched off, plug out your phone, you can even set like out of office replies for your emails and things like that if you're worried. And you may choose to completely switch off your mobile phone, your tablet, what have you. Or, you know, you might keep them on for an hour of the day or whatever, just in case something pops up that was unexpected. But it's a very powerful thing to have a digital detox, to have that in mind, that you're creating this sacred space in your home, and just to hold that. It's, you know, it's only for a few days after all, and you'd be surprised the places that you can get to within yourself when you choose to step away from all of that. So anyway, in theory, we all agree that the idea of retreat is a good sort of thing to do. But, you know, it takes quite a bit of discipline to actually go and do a retreat. It's a little bit easier if you go to a retreat center because somebody else is holding the reins and all you can do is kind of relax unless you want to leave. I mean, you kind of have to just surrender and be like, fine, this is what I'm doing for the next few days. Somebody else is in control. I'll just surrender and everything will be taken care of. It's a lot easier to let go because we have no choice in the matter. Whereas if we're doing it at home, you know, we still are maybe cooking for ourselves. We're still, you know, maybe battling with our laziness or our procrastination or our, you know, maybe I should be cleaning that window over there. And it can be a lot easier to actually just drop it and let it go. So you may choose to fill your retreat days with many, many activities or with nothing at all. And that is kind of the spectrum of personalities, isn't it? It's often the people who are really busy in their everyday lives that choose to fill their retreats with loads of activities, and then vice versa, the people who are lazy in their everyday lives and then they go on retreat and say, I just want to sit on the beach and do nothing. It really all comes back to what you actually want to get out of your retreat. There's absolutely no right or wrong way of doing it. There's no shoulds here at all. Absolutely not, you know. So if you want a quiet one and doing nothing, that can be absolutely so beneficial, so soothing and so replenishing. And likewise, something that is filled with activities, because we all have different energy levels, we all have different needs. And really, retreat is a time to listen to your intuition and pay attention to what you actually need rather than what you think you should be doing. The thing about retreats is that you sort of never know what will come up. And I, in my personal experience, this kind of applies more to retreats that you that are hosted outside of your natural environment, we'll say. So at a retreat center, for example. 'Cause once we remove the distractions, we're able to see, you know, some of the wounds that we carry that still need to be healed. In our everyday lives, we distract ourselves, usually because there's something we're not willing to look at or not willing to deal with just yet. You know, we may cover it up and think of it as boredom. You know, I'm just scrolling through Instagram because I'm bored. But what is that boredom? What is the underlyingness of that boredom? Is that a boredom that comes from, you know, a worry that you're not doing what you love in your life? Is that a boredom that comes from not being inspired or sort of creatively motivated in your life? It could be a boredom that comes from a very deeply spiritual place. And so when we remove the distractions, often the first thing we come to is the boredom, or the agitation or the irritation. And it's much easier to move through that if you're in a retreat setting where the leaders or the hosts, you know, they've seen it all before. They're used to holding sacred space for people while they move through these different layers of their mind and their consciousness and come up against these different barriers inside themselves. Going on retreat doesn't mean, you know, you immediately feel peaceful and calm and relaxed. Sometimes it means that you immediately feel bored and agitated and irritated. And, you know, in my opinion, there's no hierarchy there. I feel the boredom is beautiful because it means that you're getting somewhere. You're actually doing some work and getting down to the nitty gritty. So if you're doing it at home, it requires quite a bit of personal discipline and sometimes prior experience with retreats so that you can understand that it's all part of the process and that you can move through it with a bit more grace and acceptance. You may experience, you know, laughter or tears, mood swings, tiredness. Physical illness comes up quite often. People get colds in retreat centers, and it's sort of just like this psychic sickness, in my opinion. Physical pain, emotional turmoil, you know, you name it. The strength, actually, of attending a retreat center is that everything is allowed, you know, everything, you know, you feel free to express. Nothing is suppressed. And we often try to suppress bigger emotions such as our guilt, our grief, our anger, our trauma, all of these things that, you know, everyone experiences at some point or another. But sometimes these emotions are not handled or dealt to very well in the actual time when they come up. And so they can often linger around for months or for years without being addressed. And then when we come to a space, you know, such as a retreat center, where we finally feel safe and free to express whatever is going on inside us, we can have these unexpected bursts, you know, of the old trauma that we thought we got over, or the old anger coming up, or the old anxiety, old friends, as one lady that I know calls them. Old friends seem to rear their heads, and it can be surprising, especially because, you know, it can be suppressed and pushed down quite deep inside of us, and it may have been there for quite a long time as well. And the thing is, we worry about how these emotional reactions affect others, you know, about whether they're appropriate or not, about whether they're out of control or whether they're too big. You know, we kind of feel like they're too painful, or they're too dangerous to others around us, or we can't handle them, or someone around us can't handle them, or, you know, we need to stay strong. All of these stories that we tell ourselves around emotional healing, and instead of actually going through the process, which is very natural and it doesn't make it any easier, but, you know, you have to go through it if you want to move to that lighter place, that clearer place. And instead of, you know, using so much energy carrying it around with you and having to push it down and having to suppress it and having to distract yourself, and often very, very subconscious, very unconscious in many, many situations and circumstances. I know a lot of people that come to retreats, you know, and they think they're all good and, you know, my life is great and they're happy people and, you know, but something happens during a retreat experience and there's maybe a trigger or something comes up and they come into this relaxed state where they feel, oh, I'm safe, everything is fine. And then suddenly from that space, something from very deep within you suddenly feels, I'm safe to be expressed now. I'm safe to come out. The anger feels safe to be expressed, or the trauma feels safe to come up and out through you. So in a retreat setting, the beauty of that is that you can be supported and held by the space, by the center, by the practices, by the people around you. And if you're doing it at home, You can be supported by the program that you've created for yourself. You can be supported by being in your own environment, by allowing yourself to know that everything is completely fine and that it's actually a beautiful thing for it to come up and out, whether that's raging and tears or whether that's, however it wants to express. It may be very dramatic or it may be very subtle. And, you know, I think in a retreat setting, that's really the strength. That's where it shines. And that's where true and profound change and sort of evolution can happen within a person, because we're all, you know, perfectly imperfect, aren't we? Nobody is getting it right all of the time. But, you know, we need these kind of little pockets of time to allow ourselves to go into those deeper places and to honor ourselves and our process and allow the things that need to move through to actually move through. There's a lot of sort of guilt and shame around those bigger emotions, you know, that we all live in an Instagram reality where everybody is happy and everything's always going well and everything's always perfect, you know, and it's a very subtle but quite a strong pressure that we feel to keep up appearances or, not to make a scene. And fuck, I'm a huge fan of making a scene. I think it's very, very powerful and empowering to really go into your emotions and allow them to come through you. And rather than allowing your emotion to sort of turn into this big drama, you know, you honor it and you allow it to be expressed. And then afterwards, you feel sort of cleansed. And that's when you really feel like you've claimed back your strength and being true to yourself at the same time. You haven't had to prove that you were stronger than your anger or prove that you could get over your trauma and, you know, you didn't have to cry or you're a big girl, you're a big boy. It's incredibly empowering and, yeah, I can't say enough good things. But if you're doing a retreat at home, you know, there's no guarantees. You might have a perfectly lovely time and nothing may come up for you. So don't be disappointed either way. But it's not about sort of forcing any big true revelations. It's sort of about just letting go a little bit and allowing yourself to fall into a space where maybe you can actually touch some of those more vulnerable parts of yourself and be in touch with parts of yourself that maybe haven't been seen or haven't been heard in a while. And that can be a struggle, but it can also be incredibly beautiful and very poignant. It's kind of a slow motion unfolding. It's not the same thing that you're going to get from 20 minutes of meditation every day, you know, and then off out into your everyday life again. It's slow motion, it's unfolding, and no one can rush you into it, not even yourself. So allow yourself the time and be gentle with yourself, please. So I reckon probably that the at-home experience is incredibly rewarding, but you probably won't drop as deeply into perhaps the emotional transformation experience. I mean, you may do, but it's more likely that that will happen if you're in probably a formal retreat setting. But if you're doing it at home, people have been retreating for thousands of years. We all have intuition. We all have that spark of consciousness and cosmic love. We are all quite capable of realizing incredibly spectacular and cosmic truths. I have no doubt that you would design an absolutely perfect and stellar retreat for yourself in that moment. It would be exactly what you needed. So maybe now is the time to start vision boarding your ideal retreat. I mean, the beauty about doing it at home is, you know, you don't have to obviously go and spend the money or take yourself out of your everyday setting. You can sort of dip your toes in and have the experience yourself, get ideas online and really sort of have the complete creative control over what you want to actually get out of this retreat. And I'm sure you'll concoct many of your own ideas. I'm kind of excited. So let me know if you decide to do this. I would love to hear your thoughts, your experiences, whether you have been on a retreat or whether you're planning on leading a retreat for yourself. Yeah, I think that'll be fun. Anyway, that's all that I really had to say about the retreats. Let me know if you do decide to do one. And if you need me before the next podcast, I am always on the Insta at Infinite Bliss Yogini, which is linked down below. So thank you so much for tuning in, and I will see you next time. Ciao.